name is Robert Martellacci, president and publisher of the Mindshare Learning Report. Our special anniversary March issue of the Mindshare Learning Report includes a new feature, a cross-Canada checkup series to commemorate our anniversary and continued innovation in pushing the 21st century envelope to prepare students for the global knowledge economy. The timing is fortuitous in that Alberta is at the start of the alphabet. Alberta's Education Minister, Dave Hancock, has kindly agreed to grant us an interview for our EdTech Spotlight on Alberta. Mr. Hancock recently returned from the UK, where he represented the Council of Education Ministers at the inaugural World Forum on Technology and Learning in the UK. Good evening, Minister Hancock, and thank you for joining us today.
Oh, it's a pleasure to talk with you, Robert.
Alberta has long prided itself as a leader in Canada and beyond when it comes to integrating technology in education. I was intrigued to learn that you were representing Canada on this very important mission.
I would like
to get your reflections on your recent trip to the World Congress on Technology and Learning in London.
Well, it was an excellent opportunity to engage with others. There were probably 65 to 70 ministers of education from around the world, mainly national, but some subnational, and to be able to have a discussion about what they're doing and what we're doing left me with two things, I guess. One, it was very affirming in that we have what most of them aspire to. We have a broadband network with our SuperNet, which connects all the schools in the province and all the government buildings, etc. And so we have the connectivity for our schools and for our learning environments. And that's that I think not that people were aware of it, but if they were aware of it would be the envy of the world, because that's what they were all talking about, how to get connectivity.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned that, because President Obama talked about the U.S. Being the innovator of the internet and having some serious challenges with access to the internet in education and schools.
Yeah, and I think the realization that this is the technology isn't the learning system, but it's a very important tool for learning, and a very important tool in terms of the way people communicate today. And so it's a piece that we really need to have. And our recent discussions have been about how do we expand the available capacities to the schools to make sure that they, because they're using the capacities that they initially had. So the capability is there, but of course you have to cycle it up. And that's exciting. That's good news.
Excellent. I understand you also participated in school visits while on your trip. Were there any big ideas that emerged from that?
Well, it's interesting to see how technology was used in their classrooms and how they were set up. I wouldn't say on the school visits that there were a lot of, a lot of it was affirming, because I could see that we've engaged at the same level or better in most cases. There were some interesting concepts relative to how you engage the technology. Where it was useful was going up to Sheffield. I took the time after the conference to go to Sheffield because Britain has a new building program. They're replacing their whole secondary system. It's about $45 billion worth of build over the next 15 years. So what the interesting part about that is there were a number of very interesting things, but the Sheffield was one of the early projects. And they've mandated 15% of the build cost to build the technology platform behind the school, so that to connect it to students, to connect to parents, to connect to community, to make sure that the social agencies are engaged and connected. And that to me was quite interesting. A lot of it is a lot broader than just the technology piece, of course. Interesting, in one of the schools, it was actually two schools built together. On one side they had the Parthenon smart board technology, and the other side they had the smart board technology. So, interesting things.
Well, interesting you mention that, because oftentimes the technology piece is an afterthought. I've walked into new schools in the Toronto area where I've seen, research, you know, in brand new schools. So on the smart front, I find it very intriguing that the penetration rate of interactive whiteboard technology is very high in the UK because they made it a priority several years ago and funded it heavily. My question to you is, given that it's a Canadian innovation based out of Calgary, do you find it any irony in that the uptake in Canada has been slower than other parts of the world?
And the old prophet in your own land, that complex. That's a piece that was ironic. Smart Technologies tells me that they have 60% of the UK market. So it's an interesting piece.
Definitely. Leadership and sharing of best practices were an integral part of the World Congress. Did you return with a long list of to-dos for your staff by any chance?
Well, a few. A lot of the sharing most of the jurisdictions were aspiring to what we already have. But one of the pieces that was really interesting for me was the opportunity to sit down with Barry McGaw, I think his name is, out of the University of Melbourne, and the group that he's working with on developing a project on 21st century skills assessment. We talk about 21st century skills, and we need to define what we mean by that, but one of the things that I'm not sure we have a handle on is how do you know whether we're actually accomplishing teaching the 21st century skills? How do you do assessment? And there's a project that's being led by Barry McGaw out of the University of Melbourne, and he is working with Cisco, Microsoft, and Intel. They have the people behind the OECD education group behind PISA and the TIMSS group cooperating with them on this three-year project to define the 21st century skills and to develop appropriate assessment tools. And I think that is a very timely and important project. So that was one of the things that I brought back that we'd very much like to be engaged in.
And I agree wholeheartedly. And I know in the U.S. they have the Partnership for 21st Century Learning that is extremely active in pushing that envelope. One of our missions from the Mindshare Learning Report this past fall, we launched the HP Mindshare Learning 21st Century Interactive Classroom Contest, where we were inspiring teachers to share their success stories in the classroom utilizing technology. And we saw some fabulous videos submitted. The challenge is you see pockets of innovation, but it's not kind of hitting the mainstream classroom. So that's certainly one of the challenges before us. I totally agree. And we're embracing that. You know, the Mindshare Learning Report's mission is to further that movement, definitely. So we look forward to collaborating with you on that.
So on that point, if I can, I'd be very interested in looking at what you're doing there, because that's one of the other takeaways that I got, is how important it is that there be leadership in the utilization of technology. So it's not just putting the tools in the schools. It's really how you use them. And if all you do is teach in the same way that you taught before with a blackboard, you might as well not use. I mean, you've engaged, I'm sure, in PowerPoint presentations where the technology was just of no value whatsoever.
Absolutely.
How do you change the way you teach to utilize the technology as a tool to open up the learning process? That's something that's been emerging for me from discussions we had here last summer, but through a Schools of the Future conference that I went to in Seattle, sponsored by Microsoft
for Christmas,
and now this one that I went to, where it really became quite essential how you engage teachers and engage schools in not just having technology, but how do you use it properly? How do you use it as a tool in the learning process?
Absolutely. I did my master's in EdTech research at Pepperdine University, a blended program online, and my focus was the interactive digital classroom. I actually presented for the Learning Partnership along with Smart and Pearson recently on the converging digital classroom and trend. science, and it was very, it yielded fascinating discussion from the audience. So definitely there's more that could be done in that area. Perhaps you can talk to me for a moment about funding of ICT. President Obama's stimulus package recently included a $650 million infusion of funding for ICT. Do you have any plans for Alberta in the coming year?
I wish. We have a very strong capital budget. We've got $25 billion over the next 3 years in terms of building, not just for education, but across the spectrum, which is a pretty aggressive, you know, it's a very high level of spending. And so rather than ramping that up, we're already at peak because we had such a lot of growth happening that we were struggling to get ahead of the curve. I would like to say that we've done well in technology spending. Certainly in terms of the investment we made a number of years ago in getting the SuperNet up and running, that was important. But we really do need to look at how we fund technology as part of building new schools and as part of modernization of old schools, and we don't do that well.
Well, you know, it's about sustainability, isn't it? And in my kid's school district, you know, they've got a computer lab with 8-year-old Macs, and my kids haven't been to computer lab once this year, and my twins are in grade 7, so I'm being proactive and I'm presenting to the parent council about 21st century initiatives in the contest that I've been involved with in my work with the Mindshare Report to inspire and share knowledge.
Don't get me wrong, we've got spending happening in the technology area, and we've got projects to get technology into schools. We've got one-to-one laptop emerge projects, but in terms of a major initiative like you're talking about with President Obama, you know, sort of a surge investment, we don't have that. I wish we
right.
have that.
Well, you're well ahead of other provinces. I can tell you that with your commitment to funding these projects, which is very exciting. As the Mindshare Learning Report is widely read by both education and industry leaders in Canada, what trends do you see emerging in ICT for 2009 and beyond in Canada?
Well, I think there's a very got to be a very strong realization, and I think there is, that technology, that the pedagogy is got to adapt to the reality that our children communicate with technology, and that therefore technology has to be a very important tool in the learning process. You know, if you look at technology utilization, children use technology the least when they're at school. And what does that say about where we need to go? If they're using technology in terms of cells and text messaging and gaming and the way in which they play and the way in which they communicate and the way in which they interact with others, we need to be looking at that in terms of what that means for keeping their interest and involvement and engagement in the education process.
Absolutely. I recently attended a gaming conference. A professor from Brock University wrote a book on gaming in education and the benefits, and we all got to play. So a bunch of educators were experiencing the Wii and various games, games on that you can download to your iPhone, and it was quite fascinating experience, I must say.
Well, and the reality is that this is not new. I mean, my mom was a teacher all of her life. She passed away a couple of years ago at the age of 93. And I can remember being in there. I grew up in a small community, so I sometimes was in her class. I can remember her having kids at the back of the room playing games like ring toss, etc., because that motivated them to learn to add. They were keeping score.
And it engaged them, definitely.
Yep. And so we've just moved this into a modern context, and there has to be a realization that one of the speakers, I think it was at the Seattle conference, was talking about games like Warcraft, for example. Now, I'm not a gamer, and I don't know the games very well. I'm not motivated that way.
Right.
As he explained it, as you go through the levels, you need to engage others to help you in it, and that a student has to, just to pick a number, say level 40 or level 50 would need to have a group of, you know, 200 or 300 others engaged in helping them get through the level. I mean, so the things, the skills that we're trying to teach people, if you take a look at the games and see what they have to know, it's not just about manipulation of a joystick. It involves an awful lot of the skills that we want students to learn. If that's what they're engaged in doing, why wouldn't we take a look at it and say, how can we adapt this to a learning environment?
Absolutely. In fact, some of those game simulators for flying, you can actually record hours. They're that sophisticated, flying time and training. So I'm very much with you on that. In terms of industry and education partnering, do you see in the future a need to work more collaboratively in furthering this 21st century movement in Canada?
Well, I think it's I mean, the partnership and the collaboration is essential. We need role models and mentors for students. So quite apart from the IT process, the ability to help motivate students, to provide them with the mentorship and the inspiration, I suppose, to continue to complete school and be ready for a work world. Those partnerships, I think, are very important. In an IT context, I think it's also important to work with the business, the community, not just in the provision of the technology, although sometimes that's helpful, but again, in terms of a better engagement and understanding. We do an accountability pillar process in the province, and one of the surveys that's done. I think it's every second year in that accountability process is a survey of employers how satisfied they are with graduates. And unfortunately this year our number was down significantly. Now that's not just a one time, that's not the trend line yet. But when you analyze that, it could have a number of messages in it. One of those messages could be that the students aren't ready for work. But one of the messages could be that the workplace may not understand the students that are coming out and what's important them and how they work. And so I think there's an education process there because technology has moved so rapidly. And what our kids are doing with technology, I mean, even I'm a digital immigrant. I mean, I'm over 50 and I had to learn it after the fact. But I would argue that even a teacher coming out, a teacher who's age 30 isn't up to the same technology standard as a 15-year-old student in many cases.
Well, I'd agree with you there. Out of our discussion at the Learning Partnership Conference, there was a sense that faculties of education could do more in preparing teachers to utilize the technology and integrating it with the pedagogy.
But to go one step further and not be afraid of the fact that your students are likely going to be using technology better and knowing more about how to use it than you are.
Well, absolutely, and to that point, the winners of the final HP Mindshare Learning Contest was a high school, believe it or not, a high school history class. Teacher Mark Melnick and his students collaborated to create this stop-motion video as to how they use technology in the classroom in learning history. And it's a five-minute video, and I'd love to send you a link to it because you'll be impressed with the collaborative aspect of the video and very creative using smart board technology and laptops and so on and so forth. To wrap up, I wanted to get any final thoughts from you that you'd like to share with our readership perhaps?
Well, I guess from the context that we've been talking about, the critical piece for me is to understand as we plan our education system going forward, and we're involved now in an inspiring education dialogue where we're trying to engage the public in a discussion of the value of education to society and what we need to have as an education system to prepare students for the next 20 years, 25 years. And as we do that, the importance of how we invest in technology is significant, but then also the importance of, as we've been discussing, on the whole process of what it means in terms of the change of pedagogy and how we need to engage our teachers and educators, I suppose that's the utilization of technology is critical. So it's not all about, it's not all technology all day. It's a question of, if this is how our kids are communicating, and if we need to engage students in learning in order to be successful, then we're going to have to speak the language, we're going to have to utilize the technology to inspire the learning. And it's not a tool we should be afraid of. It's not to replace the teachers, but there's a changing role for teachers in guiding students, because the technology opens up a world of information. It used to be that knowledge was power, that you had knowledge, and one of the roles of the teacher was to disseminate the information. The teacher in the textbook were the holders of the information. Well, now information is so readily available to everybody. What people need to learn, what our students need to know, is how do they verify the information? How do they know that what they're getting is useful? How do they use value judgment in terms of how they access and use information? Australia tried to build a firewall, as I understand it, and spent a lot of time and energy on it to keep kids away from bad information. And of course, we breached within 16 minutes or so. I mean, those are the things that we need to be thoughtful about and engaged in. The information is no longer in anyone's control. And what we do need to have is, how do you access, how do you use it, how do you use it appropriately, how do you verify it, how do you add to it, and how do you use it in terms of helping with the creative thinking and problem solving and those skills that we believe are necessary for our students today to be ready for a job of tomorrow that we don't know what it is, and to be ready to adapt to the job 5 years after that we certainly don't know what it is.
Well, we at the Mindshare Learning Report are very much in line with your thinking, Minister Hancock. Thank you so much this evening for your time and reflections on your visit to the World Congress in the UK. And incidentally, we're hosting the first Mindshare Learning EdTech Industry Leadership Conference this September at the Schulich School of Business at York University, and I would welcome the opportunity for you to come and speak to our esteemed guests.
And send me some information. I'd be interested in coming, even just as if I can fit into the calendar, even just as a listener and a learner.
Excellent. Absolutely, I will do that. I'll follow up with you. Have a great evening.
Thanks so much.
All the best.